This morning we read again from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 and following. This is a passage we read also in connection with preparatory. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Text for the sermon this morning on the occasion of the administration of the supper is verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we saw last Sunday evening that the apostle here is reminding the church of something that he had already instructed them on, and that he had received personally from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he did so because he saw that there were certain failures with regard to the Lord's Supper in the church at Corinth, which failures were also leading or evidencing in themselves in the way that they conducted the Lord's Supper. It showed itself also in the way they dealt with one another in the church. And last week we saw that part of it, really the root problem, was a failure to examine themselves and so eat and drink. They were not discerning the Lord's body as they ate and drank. This morning, I want to point out another feature of this section by the Apostle Paul that also contributed to that not discerning the Lord's body, and that was related to that. And that's especially where the Apostle in this chapter or verse shows us that in eating and drinking, we do show the Lord's death till he come. The apostle, by that phrase, is pointing out that the church had, as a part of not discerning the Lord's body, was not recognizing the great celebration and rejoicing and exaltation that ought to be a part of the Lord's Supper. That in many ways the Lord's Supper had degenerated into habit or custom, perhaps even superstition. And that it is important, therefore, for the church to understand that a part of examining themselves and so eating and drinking includes understanding that when we eat and drink the Lord's Supper, we do show the Lord's death till he come. And in understanding that, we'll come to a better appreciation and a living joy and gratitude in that great gift that is given to us in the supper. Consider with me this morning, showing the Lord's death till he come. And we notice three things, three questions really. What we show, how we show it, and why. What's really striking and stands out in a passage like this is that the apostle here informs the church that ye, that is you, that is me, that is the church, shows the Lord's death till he come. When we participate in the supper, the striking part of that, therefore, is the you or the we, when you would expect the apostle here really to use the word him or he, that in eating and drinking in the Lord's Supper, he, that is Jesus, shows his own death till he come. And you would expect that for the same reason that we call the supper the Lord's Supper. It's his supper. It is his feast. It is his body. It is his blood. He is the one who instituted it. He is the only one as head of the church who has the right to institute such a sacrament in the church. We partake and participate in the Lord's Supper in obedience to him. We do not have the right to make this supper in and of ourselves. The church never said to itself, well now, we believe as a part of our worship of our Lord Jesus, we ought to have this event, this ceremony, and we shall call it a sacrament, and we think that it would be a good idea that we use bread that's broken and wine as great symbols of that death. Now the Lord instituted the supper. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. And he commands us to eat and drink. Take note of that. We eat and drink by commandment. We do so in obedience to our Lord. It is his supper. It's all about him. It's from him and about him. And so you would expect here that he said, the Lord shows the supper till he come. It's even emphasized that idea that this is the Lord's Supper when he prefaces, the apostle does, this entire section by saying that what he is about to say, he received directly from the Lord himself. That's something striking about this particular laying out of the Lord's Supper and its institution. You all are aware that there is other references to the supper and the institution of that supper the night the Lord was betrayed. And yet, in our Lord's Supper form, it's this one here in 1 Corinthians 11 that is articulated and quoted in our form. And the reason for that is the Apostle Paul, being an apostle, had to be eyewitness to certain things. And he was not, per se, a witness of those things. He did not witness the institution of the Lord's Supper. He was not in the upper room with the others. He did not witness the resurrection like the others, in that the Lord personally appeared to him prior to his ascension. Now, the Lord, or the Apostle Paul, received those necessary qualifications to be an apostle in a distinctly different way. The Lord appeared to him as not only the risen Lord, but the ascended Lord. And then we learn here that the Lord Jesus, in that appearance and elsewhere, had personally given him instruction on the institution of the supper. And that institution and that instruction the apostle now reminds the church of. And so you would expect him to say, "I do show my death till I come." But he doesn't. He says, "We, you, the church." The reason for this is because the Lord is emphasizing that although this is an ordinance, although this is a sacrament that he institutes, nevertheless, he administers it through the church. And the idea is only through the church. It's a sacrament and a ceremony that he administers through the elders of the church and through the minister of the church. Not only that, he uses that pronoun because this is a sacrament in which the church keeps it. The church keeps and maintains that sacrament. It does so by observing the Lord's Supper frequently and often. It does so by administering it as the Lord requires, keeping it to its two basic elements: the bread, which is broken, which is a symbol of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the administration of wine. And here I have to add, truly wine, not grape juice. And if anyone doubts that that's a part of the administration and a part of its institution and belongs importantly to it, because those who use that will say that's what the Lord was using, grape juice, then ask yourself why the Corinthians were drunk. I can assure you they did not get drunk on grape juice. So the Lord here is reminding the church, yes, this is my supper. Yes, everything about this supper concerns me. I instituted it. It's my supper. But you show my death. You show something in that supper when you administer it as a church through the elders and through the minister. And you show that when you use the elements as I instituted them. And also this, you show the Lord's death till he come by your own participation. These aren't elements that are simply broken in front of you. The wine isn't simply held out and poured out before you so that you see it and only the elders and the ministers show it, but you show it because then you take, again by commandment, by the word of the Lord, you take and eat, and you take and you drink, and in so doing, you show the Lord's death till he come. And amazing here too, and the idea when he says this is he has in mind, and knowing full well it's every individual that partakes, nevertheless, It's the church partaking together, a wonderful symbol of its unity, so he can address them as one. The benefit of the supper is common and for all the members in common. Now, the apostle does this, the Holy Spirit does this, because this is obviously something important for the church to know, for the church to understand, that in discerning the Lord's body, in examining ourselves, in eating and drinking, we must remember, the church must remember, that you show the Lord's death till he come every time you participate in that. And it is pleasing to God, as the apostle also indicates in mentioning this to the congregation at Corinth. Now, to help us understand, we also ought to recognize the importance of that word show. That too is a bit unusual. That as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Why that's unusual is not so easy to see in the English, but the original word that's used there is actually the word that is commonly associated with preaching the gospel. That word show literally means to declare, to pronounce, to announce. And the idea is publicly with the mouth, to say loudly before others, to say loudly to all, this is the gospel, this is the truth. And it's not usually translated show. Now, the translators of our King James, however, are correct in their translation, because that's the idea here. The reason it doesn't translate it as usual, to pronounce, to preach, to announce, to proclaim, to declare publicly, is because the church already is doing that. The church does that through the official preaching. It does that through the chief means of grace there. Jesus Christ, even his death, is pronounced, it is announced, it is declared. And our fathers understood the meaning of Paul here very well. That there's something different, however, in how the gospel is proclaimed and declared in the supper. Now take note of that. First of all, the Lord is saying here through the Apostle Paul that there is essentially no difference between what is declared in the supper and what is declared in the preaching of the gospel. Don't ever think to yourself that we preach one thing and then we show something else in the supper. What that teaches us, too, is what is the essential declaration of all preaching. It doesn't matter what specific passage we are preaching. It doesn't even matter what the nature of that particular text is. Some texts are declarative, some give commandments, some are reminders, some are admonitions, some are warning. But at the heart of them all is that they all show the Lord's death till he come in one way or another. And I might add, if that's missing, you don't have any preaching. You don't have any gospel. You got nothing. And the Lord is showing also that you starve through your ears. Even if that was missing in the showing of the Lord's death in the sacrament, if that's missing from the preaching, you starve to death. So, one gospel. One good news, one word that's proclaimed and declared. However, in eating and drinking, that declaration, that proclamation is made a different way. Not now through words, although we will celebrate with words. There will be the command to eat and to drink. We will read a form that helps explain the meaning of these elements. Part of discerning the Lord's body, as we saw last week. But very importantly, and in a way that must never be forgotten, The Lord's Supper is intended to be a showing visibly through other senses than the hearing, and as I reminded you last Sunday, specifically to accommodate our weakness. We may have faith, but our faith is immature, our faith is weak. We may be unable because of our weakness to really receive the word through the ears, through the hearing. And so great is our Lord, so faithful, so wonderful, that he says, never mind. I have something else. I give you the word in bread and wine, in a sacrament, so there can be no mistaking what is spoken, so that you may be assured that what you hear is the truth and is for you to receive. Now the great question, of course, is how is that done? How do we show this? The answer should be obvious, by the celebration of the Lord's Supper, even as it was delivered to the Apostle Paul and taught to us, and in which we are instructed. When we administer that supper, and when we receive that supper. Now, the difficulty is, what does that mean? And how exactly is that done? There's been a lot of disagreement about that. Some say that the church shows the Lord's death till he come in the eating and the drinking of the supper because the bread and the wine actually turn into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Or that the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ are somehow mingled in with the bread and the wine. The one you may recognize as the Roman Catholic view, the other you may recognize as the Lutheran view. One says that by magic, the bread turns into a physical body and the wine turns into the blood. The other says, no, they remain what they are, but the body and blood of Jesus is, as it were, infused into those elements. And what they have in common is they say we do show the Lord's death till he come, basically because the elements physically are, in one way or another, the body and blood of our Lord, physically. And the truth of the matter is that the Lord is present, but present spiritually. There's also another view that says that the Lord's Supper is merely a showing, meaning this. It's only a celebration. It's only a memorial. There is no real participation in Christ at all. Out of danger of saying that he's physically present, either by magic or by some sort of infusion, there is a denial that the Lord is even present at all. That would be more akin to the Zwinglian view. The truth of the matter, again, is that the Lord is really present. Make no mistake. We will eat and drink Christ this morning. As really as if he were here. As really as if those elements did turn into his body and blood. But he need not be physically present in order for that to happen. Physically, he's in heaven, but he is with us spiritually in the same way that he is in your heart and in your soul, in the same way that he walks with you and he talks with you, in the same way that you can communicate with him. There's a reason why it's called communion, because essentially it's no different than the communication and the communion that we have with him day to day. But here he comes to us visibly. And that's how we show the Lord's death till he come. We're showing that spiritually, showing it to all and sundry, showing it to ourselves. But there's another element of that too, and that's an important element, essential in fact, because we saw last week that a man may eat and drink judgment to himself. So much is it true that in the Lord's Supper, Lord's death is shown to all and sundry. It's unmistakable, cannot miss it. But
It's shown beneficially, that's the idea, shown beneficially for ourselves only when we eat and drink by faith. That's where that word worthily comes in. I'll be brief because we talked about that last Sunday, that the church administers the sacrament worthily when it does that through the office bearers, as called by our Lord Jesus Christ, when it administers the sacrament as He dictates that it should be done, and when we believe rightly, when we examine ourselves and so eat and drink, when we eat and drink, as it were, with understanding, discerning the Lord's body, with sorrow for one's sins, when someone understands the curse due to himself for them, believing that the Lord has taken that curse upon himself, that that body and blood, that body was not broken simply for others, but for myself, and his blood shed, not simply as an example, but that it really accomplishes something, accomplished something, and that is for me, even as I eat and drink. It's to eat and drink with understanding. It's to eat and drink believingly, applying it to myself. And there's another aspect that's especially emphasized here that we may not forget. And that is, we are eating and drinking a living Christ. Take note of that, will you please? When the apostle says that we eat and drink Christ, then we do show his death, he adds, until he come. And he's not simply pointing out there, mind you, that we are to do this until he returns on the clouds of heaven. He's doing that, of course. He's saying, never stop doing this. This is the sacrament I give to you in the New Testament until you see me on the clouds of heaven. Something very comforting about that. Because elsewhere in Scripture we read the church, when our Lord returns, will be beleaguered, scattered, in trouble and distress. And yet here he indicates the church is to do this till he comes. But notice especially what it says. We are eating and drinking Christ, and one who obviously died. He says, after all, you do show my death. The bread is broken, the wine is poured out. Christ who died for our sins, Christ who died for our sins himself, taking them upon himself. But he's no longer dead. This is the Christ who lives. This is a Christ who will be returning. And this is a Christ who gives himself to us now. And that's pointed out in the very nourishment of the supper. It's food, it's drink, that which sustains life. It's Christ's way of reminding us that we're showing that he lives, not simply that he died. Now why? To show our faithfulness? Now there's something to that. Don't misunderstand. Don't ever forget that when a church apostatizes, often it shows that in the way it administers the sacraments. That's why many church disputes that have occurred in the church, the history of the church, had to do with the sacraments. The Reformation began basically with a dispute with regard to the sacraments. Church that is faithful shows its faithfulness in the administration of the sacrament. But it's not about us. It's to show the Lord's faithfulness. It's a testimony to the faithfulness of God there at the cross. It's a testimony to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ himself, willingly giving himself for our benefit. It's a testimony to the faithfulness of Jesus actually paying for our sins to the uttermost so that he could say it is finished. And it is a testimony of our thankfulness. Make no mistake,
There ought to be joy and rejoicing. It is a celebration. The food that is prepared and the wine that is given is energizing, invigorating. The wine is to make glad and merry. What's the connection? Again, to eat and drink with understanding. That's the benefit when we eat and drink, understanding that we're showing the Lord's death till He come. So that is what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Exactly what we read. That as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as we are this morning, then we do show the Lord's death till He come. Amen. Let's turn now to the form for the administration of the supper on page 91. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves, and secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to His remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, He hath punished the same in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before Him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of His Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to the supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterward suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me.
From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word but also in very deed towards one another." Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. And that we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Strengthen us by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting,
but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, and do so in remembrance of him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it, and do so in remembrance of him. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, Being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. And now let us pray. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thine infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.